So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 6, The Activities of Lord Rishabhadev, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavati Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavati
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So it appears that since today is a prose verse that is not on the board, and I will just chant it on my own. Ataivam mukila lokapala lalamopi valakshana jaravad avadhuta Vesha Basa Charitar Avilakshita Bhagavat Prabhavo Yoginam Samparaya Vidim Anushikshamam Svakalevaram Jahasar Atmani Atmanam Asang Vyavyahitam Anartantara Bhavina Vikakshamana Uparata Nirvatir Uparama. Lord Rishabhadev was the head of all kings and emperors within the universe. But assuming the dress and language of an avaduta, he acted as if dull and materially bound. Consequently, no one could observe his divine opulence. He adopted this behavior just to teach yogis how to give up the body. Nonetheless, he maintained his original position as a plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev Krishna. Remaining always in that state, he gave up his pastimes as Lord Rishabhadev within the material world. If, following in the footsteps of Lord Rishabhadev, one can give up his subtle body, there is no chance that one will accept a material body again. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma cha me divyam evang yo veti tatvataha chaktva dehang punar janma Naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is possible simply by keeping oneself an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. One must understand his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord as well. Both have the same spiritual identity. Maintaining oneself as a servant of the Supreme Lord, one should avoid rebirth in this material world. If one keeps himself spiritually fit and thinks of himself as an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord, he will be successful at the time he has to give up the material body. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. An interesting phrase in this shloka of today is, one can give up his subtle body. We always talk about leaving the body. So-and-so left his body. It's a very common phrase in ISKCON, leaving the body. We use that term all the time, leaving the body, leaving the body. Now that our first generation devotees, the Prabhupada disciples, are getting older, many of them now are leaving the body. becoming more and more a common thing for Prabhupada disciples to leave the body. And there will become a day when the last Prabhupada disciple on the planet will leave his body. That day will come. But here the phrase is talking about leaving the body is one can give up his subtle body. So leaving the body is something that everybody does. There's no qualification required to leave your body. Even the pigs leave their bodies. I mean, everyone leaves their body just by the laws of nature. But if one does not give up the subtle body of mind, intelligence, and false ego, then one is obliged by the laws of nature to take another material body. So the key is not only to leave the body, but, you know, the material body, but the gross material body, because the subtle body is also material, one must follow in the footsteps of Lord Vrishabhadeva and give up the subtle body. So our Krishna consciousness movement is a training program how you can give up your subtle body. You see? That's what we have to master the art. How to give up the subtle body. Giving up the gross body, everyone knows. That's no big deal. But to give up the subtle body, that requires training. That requires practice. And that requires mercy. So how to do that? That is the sum and substance of the process known as Krishna consciousness. What is that process of Krishna consciousness? Prabhupada gives it to us today in a nutshell. One must understand his constitutional position and the constitutional position of the Supreme Lord as well. So there is a relationship. Krishna consciousness is based on relationship. Are you sleeping there, Prabhu?
No.
You're not sleeping?
No.
Okay, good. Just be careful, your eyes are closed. I don't want you to go into Z Samadhi. So, that is a very important understanding to know what is the constitutional position of the individual living entity and the constitutional position of the Supreme Living Being, Krishna. So, self-realization is not, as the Mayavadis claim, merging into oneness, or the Buddhists say, merging into nothingness. It is not at all that. It is a matter of perfecting the art of relationship, actually. The relationship between the individual living being and the Supreme Being. We are meant to have relationships. Sometimes we are frustrated in this material world because we have so many broken relationships. And we think better just to say it's all false. But that is not a very good solution. To say, sometimes one is very sick and every time he eats something he may vomit. So he may think, I will never eat again. He becomes so disgusted in his sick condition. He thinks, oh, I will never eat again. So that is like the Mayavadi, you see. He say, I will never eat again. I will never have any relationships again. There was a popular song like that back in the 60s. I am a rock, I am an island. I touch no one and no one touches me. You see? So, someone may be frustrated and try to deny all relationships. Don't speak of love. I've heard that word before. You see? They want to deny relationships, this Mayavadi philosophy. Because their heart has been broken again and again and again by relationships. So they would say, oh, it's all false. But that's like the sick man who says, I won't eat again. Can he get along without eating? No. He requires food to eat. And when he becomes healthy, he will enjoy eating. So when we come out of our diseased condition of using relationships for the purpose of exploitation, for our sense enjoyment, and we use relationships as a tool or as a vehicle of establishing our original relationship purely and perfectly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then that will be the natural healthy state. So we have our loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami to accept gifts from devotees, to give gifts to devotees, to accept prasadam from the devotees, and to give prasadam to the devotees, and to hear the devotees reveal, that reveal their hearts to us, and to reveal our hearts to the devotees. So these are tools, are methodologies by which we can establish loving relationships amongst the devotees for the ultimate purpose of reawakening that dormant original relationship with Krishna, with God. As we've many times explained, that's why we exist. We have no other reason to exist except to have a loving relationship with Krishna. That's the only reason we exist. No other reason. No other reason. Krishna is Atmaran. He can enjoy himself. He doesn't require anyone else. So why are we here? Well, he wants to expand his enjoyment. He starts off, of course, it's not chronological. Krishna is eternally expanding everyone from himself. Sometimes people say, well, you know, God created the world, God created us, so how can we be eternal if God created us at a certain point? He didn't create us at a certain point. He's eternally manifesting us. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Krishna has eternally been manifesting us from himself. For the purpose of having that loving relationship. Krishna wants to enjoy unlimitedly. Isn't it a fact that the more that we have friends, the more that we enjoy? That's why I like traveling and preaching all over the world, because I make so many friends with the devotees wherever I go. I get so many, my life becomes more and more ecstatic the more I have relationships with more and more devotees. So that is originally there in God. That is originally there in God. He expands from himself in an infinite number of living, he eternally expands from himself an infinite number of living beings, and also his own expansions as well, Vishnu Tattvas, to enjoy an infinity of loving relationships so he can experience unlimited, unbounded happiness. So all we have to do is agree to participate with Krishna in the most sublime, nectarian, loving relationships that you could ever, that are far beyond anything we could ever imagine. They're so sweet. All we have to do is agree. Krishna has invited us to his party. He's given us an invitation. What is that invitation? Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. These are our invitations. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You see? He is inviting us, you come. You come and join my dancing party in Goloka Vrindavan. Why are you suffering in the cycle of birth and death? You see, why are you loitering here in this place of anxiety? He is saying, my dear living entity, stop being foolish. Tamasi ma jyotirgama. Come out of the darkness. Come into the light. So Krishna has given us this Vedic Vedaischa Sarvaroham Eva Vejo Vedantakrit Vedavid Eva Chaham. He is giving us this Vedic wisdom. He is manifesting as the Vedic wisdom. In the Vedic wisdom, all is meant for the purpose of pointing out who is our ultimate best friend, that is Krishna. Voktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gyatvaman chantamichati. Krishna owns everything, sarvalokamaheshwaram. So the owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. You see. You're not in love to enjoy unless you own. Even in the material world, that is love. You see, if somebody else wants to take your car, they must enjoy driving your car, then they cannot do. They're called thief. The owner, he is allowed to enjoy, you see. The husband, he can enjoy his wife, but no one else. She's his wife, so he can enjoy. One has to be the owner in order to be the enjoyer. So, since Krishna owns everything, Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. You see? He is the actual enjoyer of everything. If we try and enjoy, we are simply thieves. That's all. You cannot encroach upon the property of another person. You become punishable by the law. So we have become punishable by the laws of this material nature. Therefore, we are suffering. Adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivik miseries. Because we have encroached upon the property of someone else. So now we have to stop being thieves. We have to stop trying to enjoy that which belongs to Krishna. If we agree to engage everything in the service of our Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, then the insider's secret is that we will enjoy equally with the Lord. And even, we will enjoy more than the Lord. You know that? Yes, you all know. Krishna, he is supreme enjoyer. But he is noticing his most beloved, Srimati Radharani. Krishna is very amazed that my most beloved, Srimati Radharani, she is serving me with unlimited devotion, but I am seeing that as she is serving me, she is enjoying more than I am enjoying. You see? I am supreme enjoyer. What is this? Here is someone enjoying more than the supreme enjoyer. That is not right. I am supreme enjoyer. I should be enjoying more. So therefore, I will enter into this mood. You see. Radharani is Gaurangi. She is that beautiful golden-limbed girl. Gaurangi. So Krishna, he says, yes, I will also enter, like, become in that mood with that complexion. So that as the Lord sees Gaurangi, he becomes Gauranga. So that he can taste that pleasure which is even greater than what he is experiencing, and that is the pleasure of being his own devotee. So Krishna decides to become a Hare Krishna, Bhakta Avatar, Bhakta Chaitanya. Lord, he becomes a Bhakta. He joins the Bhakta program in Navadvip. Besides, he heard they had a good program going on in Navadvip, so he joins the Bhakta program there. Becomes a Bhakta, Bhakta Avatar. So, this is actually there's nothing more ecstatic, nothing more enlivening, nothing more wonderful than to be a Hare Krishna devotee. There is no greater achievement, there is no greater nectar, there is no greater pleasure, no greater wonderful thing than to become a Hare Krishna devotee. You see? Now, many times people ignore us. And sometimes they find out what our philosophy is and they abhor us because we are a threat to their sense gratification. Our example threatens their sense gratification. They feel guilty that maybe they're doing something wrong because the Hare Krishnas don't do this. So that therefore they abhor us, they hate us. But the third stage is adore. Once they realize the nectar which we are making available to them in the form of the holy name, in the form of prasadam, in the form of the merciful association of the Vaishnavas. You see, once they, and what to speak of the wonderful books of Srila Prabhupada. Once they understand what we're actually making available to them, they will absolutely adore us and they will join us in ever-increasing numbers. So we have a very good example here of Lord Rishabhadev. If we follow this, not literally becoming abhidhuta, but the principle of becoming, you know, detached from this material world, engaging in devotional service, you know, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that is the principle that applies to us from this plenary expansion of Lord Vasudev, Lord Vrishabhadev. So we very much appreciate now we're heading out to our next destination. And we can never forget the wonderful loving kindness. Mataji and I can never forget the wonderful loving kindness of all you sweet, wonderful devotees here. New Goloka Dham. We'll always cherish these memories and hope that we can, Krishna will bless us that we can come back soon and get more of your mercy, more of the dust from your feet on our heads to bless us on our pathway back to home, back to Godhead. So, are there any questions? So that's good if there's no question. We can. All right.
sometimes one sees that the Hare Krishnas are not so happy. What can we do?
Oh, that means they're not really Hare Krishnas. They're just imitation. You know, the real Sita was not actually kidnapped, but Maya Sita. So if a Hare Krishna is not happy, it means he's a Maya Hare Krishna. He's not the real Hare Krishna, the Buddha. You see, the real Hare Krishnas, they're always blissful. You see, they're always happy. The Prabhupada said this is samadhi. You see, the samadhi that the yogis achieve after going through all the steps, you know, yama, niyam, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, step by step by step, working so hard, you know, they finally reach samadhi. If somebody takes up this Krishna consciousness movement with complete determination, with complete dedication, with complete enthusiasm, they achieve that samadhi. They are always tasting nectar. So if you're not tasting it, well, you're not really a Hare Krishna devotee. You're just, you know, you're making a show. You're a Kali chela. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have you heard that bhajan by Bhaktivinoda? He says, here comes another Kali chela. He has tilak on the nose, he has kanti mala on the neck, but he's having illicit sex with so many women, you see. He's a devotee of Kali, he's not a devotee of Krishna, but he's posing himself as a Vaishnava. So if we're not actually tasting the nectar, then we are simply Kali Chela. We're still devoted to Kali, personality of Kali. Our own sense gratification is more important to us than Krishna's service. But somebody who puts Krishna's service first, always puts the service of Krishna first, they will be diving and swimming, they will be surfing in the waves of the ocean of love of Godhead. We just recently came through Australia and on our world tour that we just finished up, came through Australia and then Los Angeles, and we were seeing the surfers out there, the sufferers, Prabhupada called them. You know, paddling out on their boards, you know, to catch the waves. And then if they can catch a wave, finally, I finally caught a wave. You know, for 10 seconds they get it. You know, I'm God. And then back thrown in the water, you know. And then a shark comes and bites them. You know, bites their leg off or whatever. So, but they think that surfing on that wave is a great enjoyment. They become God for 10 seconds when they're riding the wave. But we are riding, someone who's actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we are riding that wave at every minute, the ultimate wave, Chaitanya's mercy, back to home, back to Godhead. So we're simply inviting everyone, catch that wave of Chaitanya's mercy. Take the surfboard of your consciousness and absorb it in that wave of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you see. And then you will be, you know, no one will be, you'll be the happiest person in the whole world. You see, that is called a Hare Krishna devotee. Not someone who's in anxiety about this and that, and this and that. That's not a Hare, that's a Kali Chela. Krishna help us, right? But that's the standard. We have to know what the standard is. We have to know what the actual standard is. Because it's available. It's just below, the fact is, it's just below the surface. You see? All we have, right now, we're so much in anxiety. Oh my God, my body is getting old. I got this problem, that problem, this problem, you know, so many. All we have to, the Vaikuntha atmosphere, the Vaikuntha mood of always being ecstatic is so close. It's just below the surface. It's like on the ocean. On the top, there's some storm going on, you see. The waves are very turbulent and very chaotic scene. But if you just start going down into the ocean, it becomes calmer and calmer and calmer. And finally, there's no influence of the storm whatsoever. So each and every one of us has that ocean of unlimited nectar right there within us. You see, it's within us. All we have to do is learn how to dive a little deeper, a little deeper, a little deeper. And you know what the diving technique is? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The more we can absorb our mind in the holy name of the Lord, that will take us deeper and deeper and deeper into that dimension, into that realm where anxiety and illusion are absolutely, completely, 100% conspicuous by their absence. This process works. You just have to work the process. That's all. If you work this process will work for you. But if you don't work the process, it won't work for you. We simply have to work the process, and then it'll work for us. Any other questions? Yeah.
You said that our purpose is only in this material or spiritual world.
What is it? I said what? Can you repeat it, Manaji Machi?
I'm saying our purpose in the material and the spiritual world is to serve Krishna. It's to serve Krishna.
Yes.
And I'm wondering why in all other religions this purpose is lost.
Why it's lost in other religions?
Hmm.
Why the purpose is lost in other religions? Yeah. Why do we have it and the others don't?
Yeah, they have lost it.
Why they have lost? Well, the original idea was there. Lord Jesus certainly had that idea. In fact, Lord Jesus expresses pure bhakti in the New Testament. There are verses which present pure bhakti. Christ says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So it is there, actually, in the Bible, but because they don't have a bona fide spiritual master, you see. Guru is required. To understand the scripture, you require a guru. Yasha, what is that? Yasya deve para bhaktir tatha deve tatha guru. You see. Unless you have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna, you cannot understand the scriptures. So even though it is actually there in the Bible, pure bhakti is openly explained in the Bible, because they don't have a pure devotee, they don't have a bona fide spiritual master who can show by example and teach them how to actually understand and manifest pure bhakti, then they just turn it into a whole thing of, you know, God's my order supplier. Give me this, give me that. Give me, give me, give me. The Hindus do the same thing. The Christians, the Hindus, the Muslims, everyone. We have to be careful in our Hare Krishna movement also that we don't turn Krishna consciousness into some ritualistic program for our sense gratification. That will spoil this movement. The unique contribution of Srila Prabhupada is he has manifested by his example and his teachings what is actual pure bhakti, and that was practically totally unknown to the world. You see, it's been Christ manifested, but his followers lost it. It was lost, the disciplic succession was broken. You see. So now Prabhupada has come to re-establish for everyone. Many Christian people have joined this movement because they understand this is the real mission of Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the real Christianity. So because there was no pure devotee there, the disciplic succession was lost. Somehow or other it was broken. Just like the civic succession of Bhagavad Gita through the saintly kings was broken at a certain point, and Krishna had to come and reestablish it by speaking it to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. So in these other, in Christianity, the succession has been broken. The pure devotee, Lord Jesus, was there, but his followers somewhere along the line lost the essence of what he was presenting, and they distorted it. So it's something that happens. Specific successions do get broken, but Krishna restores them also. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. So now it is up to us, the followers of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, to reestablish on this planet for everyone, for Christians, for Jews, for Muslims, for Sikhs, for Jains, to establish for everyone what is actual religion. We don't say they have to give up being a Christian or a Buddhist or this or that, but now you become a perfect Christian, a perfect Jew, a perfect Muslim, etc. You see? Does that answer your question? Okay. Any other question? All right. We will stop here. And we thank you very much. Gantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.